18. Feed my sheep. The astonishing news is true. Jess is alive, come back to life from the dead. The resurrection is an unbelievable life-changing reality. We find the funeral home empty. The blood-stained blanket still lay spread on the table where they had placed him, but there is no body where Jess had been 2 days before. Suddenly begins to return to my mind so much he had said. I remember that he had told us he would die and rise again. But I was too dense and dull to grasp his meaning. No wonder he was always talking about eternal life conquering death. He appears to us all that same evening, when we are together eating supper. We see him and speak to him, and great is our rejoicing. It happens that Tom isn't with us at the time, and doesn't believe it when we tell him about it. But a week later, he appears to us again. This time, the Lord makes Tom put his finger in the bullet hole in his chest. The next few weeks are glorious and happy. The Lord appears to us many more times, and teaches us many new things he wants us to know now that we understand the truth of his resurrection. I did not understand him when he spoke figuratively. Neither could I understand him when he spoke plainly. But now, all at once, so much begins to make new sense. Some of what he has to say now is even more difficult. Yet, almost as if by a miracle, I feel as if my heart and mind have been suddenly unlocked, and I understand everything, just as he said we would. Rejoice not in the suffering I endured for your sake, he says, but in my obedience. Then take my example, my very life, into your own. To bring you this life of self-denying relinquishment is why I came, and why I called you to follow me. Must we too? Must we die? I ask. Of course, he replies. It is the only path to your sonship, the death of empty-handed obedience, the empty hands of faith. When will I die? I ask. You must die every day, he says with a smile. Every moment when you lift the empty hands of faith to the Father is its own tiny death, death to your own motives, making you alive to the Father's will and purpose. To obey is to slay the self. To say, not my will, but yours, is to close the eternal link between God's fatherhood and your sonship. I am not the Son of God because I cannot help it. I was not sent among you as an angel, but as a man with free will, just like you. I have chosen my sonship by closing that eternal circle between myself and the Father, just as you must do every day. After he returns to life, he comes and goes and is not always with us. Some return to their homes and jobs. Though our hearts are full of joy, we don't know what we are supposed to do. One day, back at the coastal town where several of the men live and where I had been staying when I first saw Jess, I am out in Pete's fishing boat with Pete, Tom, Jim, Tad, John, and Andy. We have been working all night, but have caught nothing. The recent storms have stirred up the waters. In the morning, as we troll along near the shore, we see a man standing on the beach beside a fire. "Have you any fish?" he calls out to us across the water. "No, nothing," Pete calls back. "Not much of a night." "Try the other side of your boat," the man calls back. Puzzled by this strange advice, Pete turns to us, then shrugs his shoulders as if to say, "What do we have to lose?" So we try it. Within minutes, the fish are practically jumping up into the boat. We soon have a catch of more than 100. In the midst of our sudden activity, John glances at the man beside the fire. Suddenly, recognition dawns over his face. "It is the Lord!" he cries. Pete turns. Overjoyed, he jumps into the water and swims ashore. The rest of us follow in the boat and haul it onto the beach. As I walk up, I can smell fish cooking on the open fire. "Come and have some breakfast," says Jess. We sit down and warm ourselves while he serves us the fish with some fresh bread. When we have finished, Jess speaks to Pete. "Peter Johnson," he says, "do you love me?"
"Yes, Lord," replies Pete.
"You know that I do."
"Feed my lambs," he says.
He glances around to the rest of us.
"Do you also love me?"
he asks.
I nod.
A few answers Pete had.
"Then feed my sheep."
I quietly ponder his words. Still a third time, he asks the same question.
"Do you love me?"
And yet again, Pete and the rest of us assure him that we do.
"Then feed my sheep," he says again.
Slowly, Jess rises. Pete follows him along the beach. Somehow, the rest of us realize that this is a private moment meant for Pete alone, although John also rises and follows from a distance. From Jesus, an Obedient Son by Michael Phillips. Read by Michael Kimball. More information on this and similar writings may be found at fatheroftheinklings.com. Visit Amazon to purchase Jesus, an Obedient Son, and other books by Michael Phillips.